said, okay, right now, he said, that record, you're high on the charts. He said, you are the flavor of the month when it comes to the record company. He said, but baby girl, when that record is going to come off the charts. He said, they got your picture up, you're the best thing since ice cream. He said, but when that record starts coming down off the charts, they're going to take your picture down, and they're going to put somebody else's picture up. He said, all those records up underneath you are waiting to come up the charts. He said, do not let that validate you. Do not judge your success or judge yourself or your self-worth by chart position. He said, if you do great music and you do a great show, and here's the key, if you stay touchable to the people, he said, they will support you for the rest of your life. And I'm telling you, HJ, that is my testimony. That is the relationship that I have with my fans. That is how I've built a fan base over the years. That's how I've been able to survive in the music business, whether I've had a record or not, just by appreciating those people who have taken their hard-earned money, who have supported me over all the years. You know, our people, we have to kind of sometimes rob Peter to pay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll take their light bill money, they'll take that hair did money, that nails did money, and they'll go buy that ticket to the concert, they'll buy those records. They will support you. And Roger taught me to always be touchable and available to the people. And that he spoke the truth, and it is something that I stand on, something that I live by in my life, and I live a regular life. When they say, ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Murdoch, then I'm on. But I will not be on 24/7, because nobody can maintain that, because that's not reality. Real reality is knowing who you are and whose you are, and appreciating the people who have helped you get from point A to point B. I know that these awesome people who go get my records, who are listening to us, they may work a 9-to-5 that they hate, but they have supported me over the years so that I can do what it is. I've been able to fulfill my passion. So, therefore, who owes who, right?
Hey, Shirley Murdoch. Shirley, we're going to talk about soul food, but, I had to talk about Roger.
Talking about Roger. Mm-hmm. What it does is it keeps his memory alive, and it keeps the love flowing alive. And when you love somebody and they're gone, that person never dies. You celebrate the life, their life, the life of that person, the light of their life in your heart. And Roger's music continues. The funny things he's told me. The great advice that he's told me. Mm-hmm. All that is still alive and well. And when you hear Roger's music, you still feel what you felt when you were at the concert the last time. You know what I'm saying?
Telling you.
So, what I know is that Roger made peace with God, and that's because I have a relationship with the Lord. I know that one day I'll never have to tell him goodbye ever again. And when I get the glory, I'm going to ask him to do Donald Duck for me.
I heard that.
Anybody knows Roger knows what I'm talking about.
Now, let's talk about soul food and the song, I Love Me Better Than That. Tell us about it. What a song.
Well, soul food came about because, It's my sophomore gospel CD, but I have to also bring Roger back into the picture because I was doing gospel when I met Roger. So a lot of people may not understand that I was doing gospel. I grew up, singing in church, gave my life to the Lord when I was 15, and was really seeking to sing gospel. Those doors never opened. And then when I met Roger, I told him thank you, but no thank you. But he left the door open and said, if you ever decide to give it a chance, please let me know because I really want to help you. So, after, much prayer, and deciding to go ahead and give this a shot and understanding that I believe that this is the path that God has set me on, I the rest is history. I became famous, in R&B world, I've had great success, with many hit records, but I've always had that desire to sing gospel, and all of my records always had a gospel or inspirational song on it. So I met Bishop T.D. Jakes. I was signed on Warner Brothers to do another R&B record. I met Bishop T.D. Jakes, and I told him that I always wanted to sing gospel, and I had an opportunity to record on his Sacred Love Song CD, to do two songs, one being the title cut, The Lady, Her Lover, and Her Lord,
mm-hmm.
and You Are My Ministry, and he started a record company. He said, well, Shirley, if you really want to sing gospel, here's an opportunity. So I went to my dear, dear friend, Roger. I said, Roger, I have an opportunity to sing gospel, and I want to be released from Warner Brothers. He said, well, baby, I'm not surprised. That's what you were doing when I met you. So this is what my dear friend did. He first of all released me from himself because I was signed to him on a production deal. So he set a sister free.
Hey.
And then he went to Warner Brothers and championed my release. And do you know, on paper, I was officially released from Warner Brothers in December of 98, and Roger passed away of April of 99. So isn't it amazing,
wow.
You know, just the timing there, you
yeah.
know? So I know that he wished me well. He told me I was you know, where I should be, you know, while I was singing gospel. And so I had my first CD released on Bishop T.D. Jakes' label. It was entitled Home. And then this Soul Food CD was a project that my husband and I did independently, just taking a faith walk, believing that people need ministry, you know, which just simply means help in all areas of life because we're body, soul, and spirit. And so the Soul Food album came about because we wanted to do songs that would minister to people, you know, no matter where they are. You know, if you want praise and worship, we've got that. If you need a song of encouragement, we've got that. But because I have the awesome opportunity to minister at women's conferences, you know, and I go into the prison system and go into the women's prisons, and when I go to the conferences, the sisters are looking good, man. They got their, you know, they got their designer clothes on, looking good, Mac down, face beat down, looking good.
Hey.
But behind that smile, behind that St. John's suit, is some sisters that's toe up from the floor up.
That's true.
We've got issues, and we've got brokenness, and we've got wounds. So I wanted to address those things. And again, you know, what good is ministry if you can't keep it real? If you can't go to the areas where they really hurt and bring some peace and bring some solace and bring some healing and some deliverance. So, you know, my thing was I see sisters broke down. We got self-esteem problems. We hating on each other because, number one, we're not feeling good about ourselves. We can't celebrate the beauty in another sister because we don't feel good about how we look. Or, you know, some women are getting beat down physically. Some women are getting beat down verbally. You know, some women have gone through, you know, ancestral relationships and rape and just all kind of just really horrible things that have really, you know, stolen their future and stolen their joy and their peace and their hope. And it's like, Lord, what kind of message can I, you know, what can I say to help a sister out or to help a brother out or help a young girl or a young boy to stay in school? And this is what I got. And, you know, in the Bible, it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God made us on purpose with purpose. Purpose starts with a thought. And this is the thought that God has for all of us. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts and plans for peace and not evil. And to give you success in your final outcome, to bring you to an expected end. That means to give you a future, to give you hope, and you know, for your future. So that's what God is saying about us. So if you understand the value that God puts on you, then you can begin to value, you know, yourself and love yourself. Because you can't love nobody till you learn how to love yourself. But there are things in our lives that separate us from or prohibit us or block us from the free flow of God's blessings to our life. So you got to look into the mirror of your life and say, now what is it? Is it an addiction? Is it an abusive relationship, you know, physical or verbal? You know, just but I have to be honest with myself and say, what is it that's blocking the flow? Maybe I need to roll the root of some people out of my life. If they're not adders, mm-hmm. then they're subtractors. If a person's not who you have in your life, if they're not helping you be the best person that you can be, that awesome person that you were ordained and meant to be, then, you know, you got to get that person away from around you. So you got to love you better than that. So that's how that song came about, you know. But in the vamp of the song, it says, I want my joy back. I want my peace back. I want my strength back. I want my hope back, my dreams back. I want my keys back because some sisters gave up their key, whether it be the house key, the key to their heart, the key to whatever. You should have never gave that key up in the first place. So it's a song understanding that there were some things taken from you, but with God, understanding He has a plan for you, He has love for you, and with His help and with His strength, He's going to empower you to take back the things that were stolen from you.